Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back into the Nick Bot Podcast. And boy, do we got a good pod on tap for you today. It is part one. We got a little two-part wine pod with yours truly and Bo Rude. This is part one, and I gotta warn you, we really got it going on this one. We actually drank an entire bottle of wine before we even turned on the mic, so needless to say, we are a little tipsy and a little saucy throughout this whole pod, which makes it fun. So not only are we a little tipsy, we got some fun topics to dive into on this. On part one, we dive into Dylan Raiola committing to Ohio State. We get into Vegas's projections of Nebraska next year. We also dive into the topic of what is maybe that win total needed for Frost next season to cool that hot seat and stick around for years to come with his kind of revamped staff. We also discuss O'Shawn Mathis. We talk about JoJo Doman and him getting undrafted. Bo's got some good insight on that. We also tackle Scott Frost and Fred Hoiberg's and their offensive styles in the Big Ten. We get into a bunch of stuff, man. This was a lot of fun. So let's get to it. Here we go. Part one, Wine Pod. Me, Bo Rude. Enjoy. All right, we are here, and we have violated said rules of Wine Pod. Bo Rude is here. Oh, my God, it's empty. I wish people could... I always wonder if people think we're full of it, but we need to fire up the videos again so we people have video evidence. But we have already had a bottle of wine, which is a little scary, especially because, do you want to tell, we have another bottle of wine open. Are we serious right now? This might be a two wine pod.
It's like you stretch a little bit before you run. We need to stretch a little bit, and we talked. We got
2 hours.
2 hours of talking about sports
things.
just talking about life, and we looked up and now it's 9 o'clock at night and we're one bottle deep starting the
Sheesh.
Second bottle.
So it is Friday, May 13th, and I'm a little nervous right now because we are already one bottle deep, so this could get this, and I've wrote down like 15 different topics to you that we're going to talk about. I don't know, just...
By topic 15.
We might be like, and this is the thing about Corey Slessor.
I hate him. I hate his guts.
I can't understand why there's not anybody like him anymore. But okay, so we need to get right to it, because we'll derail things eventually here. Yeah. All right, topic number one. This is going to be a lot of Husker football, but it's going to be some other things as well. I just wrote down a bunch of things for you. Dylan Raiola, number one quarterback recruit in the class of 2024, son of Dominic Raiola.
Dylan,
nephew of Dylan Raiola. No.
Dominic.
Dominic's son, Donovan's nephew.
Yeah.
How about
Donovan,
that for
Dominic Dylan.
Dominic Dylan, Donovan, Dilly, Tommy, come to eat dinner. Dylan Raiola has committed to Ohio State.
And I think when he became the number one recruit in the country, that was our death wish or death kiss.
I have a couple of things, but one of the first things I wrote down was, did Nebraska fans really expect to get him? I didn't.
I did until he became the number one recruit. Like to me, like then you go, oh,
yeah,
that's
you're right.
Like I didn't realize he was like the number one recruit.
Yes.
Like, that becomes Alabama, Clemson,
Ohio State
become like really hard to beat, and it's understandable. It's like those kids see like, here's how you go to the NFL. The best receivers are all going to these places. Like that is what you're competing with.
Ohio State just had, if I'm not mistaken, 3 first round draft picks at wide receiver.
That's the game. And Alabama's had a first rounder almost every year for the last couple of years. That is who you're throwing the ball to.
So that makes a difference. And then not only that, you have from Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields to CJ Stroud had a great year. Like it's So I guess that's the thing. It just was interesting to watch the reaction to it. You know, when who's old boy? Cluster Johnson's son, Keegan Johnson, goes to Iowa. People are like, ah, man, come on. Like, yeah. Iowa, Nebraska, like that you can like argue a little bit more. Like, when you're the number one quarterback recruit, you're a five-star, and you can go to Ohio State. Like, I don't even know
that doesn't sting as much as Cluster Johnson's kid going to Iowa. Because
right.
To me, like, if you grew up in Nebraska, Iowa was never considered on our level for many, many years until the last
recently.
Couple years.
Yeah.
And so that it stings. That stings
yes.
more than, to me.
So,
I mean, I get it.
We don't have to elaborate much. I just feel like, because Ohio State, we talked about better track record with quarterbacks, elite wide receivers. They win. Nebraska, obviously, above all, like they haven't been winning. Like, look at their quarterback situation. Chubba Purdy has 4 years of eligibility left.
Yeah.
They have the 2022 quarterback, Richard Torres. They already have Mark Whipple, got a guy that he likes, a guy named William Watson, a 2023 quarterback. So, like, and then you have Harburg, who's hands off my Heine, a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I think, like, that news hit and it stung a little, but I think people kind of go, you got slapped in the face, and you're like, I understand why I got slapped in the face a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just different to me. Like, he's actually not from Nebraska.
That's the other thing.
And so I think it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind for me. We're like, you know, it'd been nice. I know he'd been in the papers a lot and all that, but like, it wasn't like he was like, yeah, I'm coming here for sure or anything. You know?
Do you think, though, because there's been some people, and I'm just throwing this out, I'm going to play Twitter Nick. Was a huge part of the reason why Twitter Nick is here, everybody. Hey, Twitter Nick. Hey, this ought to be really lame. Was a huge reason why you went and got. Now I'm all messed up.
Donovan Dominic Dillon.
Was a big reason you got Donovan Raiola was because it gave you the best chance to get Dillon Raiola.
You know, I have a hard time believing you hire a position coach to be. I mean, like, you hire a position coach to get the recruit. I think that's like, that seems like a really, like, if that's not a guarantee with the job, like, I just don't think that's, I don't think people do that. I know, like, in the past, like, people have, like, we'll hire
package.
Your dad
yeah.
to be our athletic assistant.
Right, Danny Manning's dad,
yeah.
Mario Chalmers' dad, like, you've seen that.
We've
Kate Cunningham's brother at Oklahoma State. Like,
you know, I just think it's like, to be a position coach,
well,
that's a big, especially O-line, that's a big spot.
To take it a step further, O-line, arguably one of the most, when you're like, in the Big Ten, you better be good in the O-line and the D-line, or you're in trouble. So it's one of the most important position coaches you can have.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of like, would Scott Frost really hire somebody as an offensive line coach for a recruit that isn't coming for 2 years when you're already on the hot seat? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't see that as. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but I can't imagine it's the reason.
I
right?
think it was one of those things. Like, it was an in addition to. It's like, okay, maybe. Donovan Raiola was checking a lot of the boxes, and it was like, oh, and by the way, there is this Dillon Raiola cat coming down the pike. And the reality is, there's a long ways that we see crazy stuff happen all the time where just because you commit as, I think he's a 2024 guy, so he's still got a long ways to go till
sure.
you know, he's actually playing in college, but nevertheless, he visited on the spring game, so, I mean, there's a lot of people that were tracking his moves at this point.
Yeah, I think, but yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be a hard for him at this point now to, I think, leave.
I get it. I mean, Ohio State. It's one of those things you're like, I get it. It's Ohio State. Okay. It's kind of like I've always said, like this always, I feel like it puts people bad. Like, my wife goes to Miami for the weekend. She runs into Justin Timberlake. She calls me next day and goes, Nick, Justin Timberlake made out with me last night. I'm sorry. I mean, it's like, what am I gonna say to that?
Say, all right, babe.
Or even she called me, she was like, Nick, Justin Timberlake is here. He wants to kiss me. What do I do? I'd be like, well, I mean, we got to.
You're going to have to go with your heart in that one.
What would 14-year-old Kim say? You know, like, I guess there are certain things where it's like, what are you going to do? You know,
Ohio
State wants you.
I understand it more than I understand other other situations with our recruiting. Like
there
that,
we go.
I can understand.
Okay. Second topic I wrote down for you. So Las Vegas has started to come out in some of these, whether sports books and in different publications, coming out with some odds and different things for Nebraska heading into next year. And it always is interesting to see the reaction from fans. So Nebraska has the fifth best odds to win the Big Ten next season, which is, you know, on the surface, you do. There's a part of you that hears that and go, wow, okay, because right, Ohio State, it goes Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, and then Nebraska. Then FanDuel also set Nebraska's win total over under at 7.5 wins. 7.5.
But see, where do they, I guess, like, if you're a crazily optimistic Nebraska fan, you might get to 7.5, maybe 8, if you're the crazy optimistic. Where do these outsiders get off putting us over 6 wins? I mean that. What are they looking at that
well, okay.
The crazy Nebraska fans won't go past 8?
Twitter Nick has left and and Vegas get it and don't get it Nick has now walked in. Okay. Where do they get off?
Yeah.
I will say where they get off is even the advanced analytics where they run these numbers on Nebraska shows that like last season you simulated a million times, like 3-9 is like the outlier outcome. So I guess where do they get off? I guess I'll just ask you simply, does it not seem like every single week you and I sit in this very room and record a recap pod where we are going, how did Nebraska lose that game? So I think there's probably a part, there's probably some Vegas, whether it's, and that's not just two Nebraska fans talking about it. There are numbers that back that up where it's just like, how on earth do you lose at Michigan State when they have like 10 yards of total offense in the second half? You're like, but that's like kind of par for the course for Nebraska. So that would be the, where do they get off? I would say that where it's like, I think they're probably going, Nebraska has been a statistic anomaly, both by the numbers and by just watching every year to arrive at their final record. So that would be the get it side of it. The don't get it is what you're saying. I mean, you have 4 straight losing seasons. You just came off a 3-9 season.
And you lost some talent too, right? And you lost like new quarterback, new coordinators, and O-line, D-line is right now we're like, woof, we're not real sure there. Like that to me is like, there's a lot of question marks there, but like, I just think common sense says 6 wins is like,
so you would set the over-under at 6 on the nose, 5.5. Would you go 6.5?
I would go 6 on the nose.
So would I.
And I think if you're pushing to 7, it's like, I don't know. It's like, look at the last 4 years. And, I mean, the schedule's easier, but we aren't probably as talented as we were last year.
Well, so that's the other thing I wrote down, because you must be right on my wavelength of like, I don't even know how you even project this roster. Like,
Casey Thompson, 2 weeks of practice, plus new coordinator Mark Whipple, plus
potentially a new leading rusher, a new leading receiver.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even... So the get it part of it is what I just said about being, you know, like, how the hell did Nebraska lose this game every single week for the past 4 years? But then the don't get it is, like, I don't even understand... I would love to hear Vegas's justification.
Because it's hard to project, and they're projecting very optimistically. To me, like, they are projecting more optimistically than I am, which is like, and I'm trying to be realistic and maybe a touch conservative, but I say 6 wins.
Yes.
They're saying 7.5.
There's a bit, like, you bet the over, you're saying they're going to go, they're winning 8 games. It's like, oh, man,
the schedule's easier than last year, but it's not a cakewalk. You got Northwestern in Ireland and Oklahoma in your first 4 games.
Like, right.
Those two go wrong, and you're already in a big hole that's hard to climb out of.
Well, what's amazing to me, too, where all of Vegas is obviously on Nebraska in a positive way, Nebraska right now is a 9.5-point favorite over Northwestern in that first game of the year. That feels like a too big of a number.
I don't, I mean, you know, Pat Fitzgerald's a really good coach. They're always smart, well-coached kids. We worked them last year.
Killed
at home.
Them last
we worked, but there it was a game for a quarter and a half, and then we
remember.
We,
remember, a JoJo had a strip at the goal line where everything flipped there.
The game changed there, but they score there. I mean, it's a different game potentially, and they usually play us tougher and better. So that's our trip. I mean, 2 years in a row, we've got. It's the season rides on the first game 2 years in a row.
I hate doing that, but it's true.
That's because we are in a fragile state. Like to me, like if you're in a healthy place, like, you know, we came in with this Frost first year. They're in a healthy place. Frost was riding high coming off of UCF. You can lose six straight and it doesn't matter.
Right.
When your job is on the hot seat, that first game. Oh man, it matters. When it's the first hard one out of the first three, like if you can win it, you're going to have probably three wins under your belt to start the year. It changes the whole season.
We
changes your whole career, and it puts pressure on that game. It puts pressure.
Well, the thing, and we've talked about these things a million times, but it is pretty remarkable that Nebraska and under Frost has not, it seems like they have gotten off on the wrong foot to start every season. You had the Akron game canceled, lose to Colorado week one.
Yeah.
Year two, you go to Colorado, you're up 17-0 at halftime, you fall apart and lose in overtime.
And we played our first game, we didn't play well the first game, I remember.
Yeah, South Alabama, kind of, Adrian looked like he had been eating Twinkies and chili all summer. He's like, anybody want Twinkie and chili? But no, it didn't play very good.
Do I have to run out or can I just, how about I stand here and I just hand it? Oh, God.
I got to tell you guys. Stomach's hurting again today. We're not going to...
Oh, I shouldn't have eaten all those ribs last night. Oh.
I went to... Did you go to Rib Fest, Adrian? Like, oh, I did. Oh, man.
Big mistake right before the game.
Oh, it's a horrible decision I made here. But so then year three was... It was the pandemic. And Ohio State. And then even the Wisconsin game gets canceled. And I'm telling you, Nebraska would have beat Wisconsin that year.
Yep.
Third game of that year is at Northwestern.
We give it away.
And then year four, you have
Illinois
right out the gates. So it's like, that's why that Northwestern game, just for once, it'd just be interesting to see what would happen if they would kind of like out the gates, take care of business.
You know what's funny is, for years, for 4 years now, they've been asking to just get some momentum, get some remember, like, the big thing is first 2 years, like, we got to get some confidence. Like, we haven't heard as much about that of late. But they've been asking for that. They've been begging to have some things go their way and begging for some momentum and some confidence. And, man, it just seems like we just can't find it. So, like... I think if we win Northwestern and we can get things going there, like I think you're going to go 3-0 into Oklahoma, and you're just in such a different mindset for the team, and I think the fans.
Even this year, though, what's crazy is even though they got off to the bad start against Illinois, I really feel like if the Oklahoma game that was hanging in the balance goes different, the season's different. If the Michigan State game that's hanging in the balance goes different, the season goes different.
Yeah.
Or the Michigan game that you and I were at, if that
game... The atmosphere was electric.
Unbelievable. I still don't... That was... I had so much fun that game.
God, it was good.
But
we deserved to win.
So even... I'm saying even... That was the last of, like, despite all of those times of sideshow bobbing yourself right to the face with a rake, like... You still had opportunities to maybe catch that wave of confidence and didn't get it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Interesting to stick along that note. I'll jump around here. The other thing I wrote down, I was listening to one Stephen M. Sipple on Sharp and Binning in the Morning on 1620 The Zone.
You ever been to Applebee's?
Have you guys been to Perkins for breakfast? Now, if you want a good breakfast.
We love Sip.
Though. Oh, I love Sip. Sip's my favorite guy in the world. Basically, they were asking Sip, what win total number does Frost and the staff need to get to stave off the axe. Yeah. Basically the hot seat. Like, they need to win. What do they need to do to make it so they're not a one and done coaching staff here? And Sip said that if I were Frost, I'd be telling my guys, we better get to 8 wins, boys.
Whew.
And that they even, I think it was Gary that asked him, said, if you get to 6 wins, he said, I think 6 wins, you're in trouble. I guess for me, this to circle back to our, at least being consistent with our Vegas over-under that we're setting.
Yeah.
I set the over-under at 6. To me, like, if they get 6 or 7, I think they are coming back.
Oh, I thought that for sure. Like, for sure it's 6 wins gets you back. Like, if you don't, lose terribly and...
Yeah, it's all...
You look right and get 6 wins, I think you're back. And 7 wins, you are back.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by my good friends at Runza. You know, a few things make me more proud than the fact that Runza supports my podcast. Because as a Nebraskan, I've been a Runza fan my entire life. I lived down the street from a Runza growing up. It was a blast to go there as a kid. Sometimes I'd even ride my bike there with my buddies. I vividly remember one of our very first elementary school field trips was to Runza. Everyone loved it. I remember going to Runza in high school for lunches with all my high school friends. And I've told you guys this, one of the happiest days at Kansas my freshman year was discovering a Runza in Lawrence, Kansas. It was like finding a little slice of home when I was away from home. And now as an adult, it's great to share Runza with my kiddos who absolutely love the deliciousness of Runza. It's a little Runza story from yours truly. And you know what the menu is. Just outstanding, amazing Runza sandwiches. Oh my gosh, a piping hot cheese Runza? That sounds good right now. Incredible burgers, the best fries on the planet. The salads are great, especially the Southwest chicken salad, my personal favorite. It's just awesome food. So whether it's lunch, dinner, a little snack, doesn't matter. Runza is the spot. You need to go download the mobile app. It's in the app store. You can order ahead, skip the line. Plus, you can earn rewards as well. Runza makes it all better. But I agree. The idea that they go 7-5 and you fire Scott Frost, you go 7-5, even if that's with a bowl win, or you go to 7-5 and you lose in the Frosted Flakes Bowl to South Carolina, you're telling me you're firing Mark Whipple, Mickey Joseph, Scott Frost?
No way. Nope.
Really say that out loud, people.
No, I think here's where I'd maybe agree with Sip. If they didn't make the coaching changes this year with Whipple, Mickey Joseph, Applewhite, those guys, I think people are already seeing, like, okay, there's a change in attitude and there's a change in something about our recruiting.
Yes.
That has happened immediately. Like, you're seeing results immediately. And that, I think, gives people the thought of, like, well, maybe we need to give these guys more time. Like, not just Frost, but, like, Frost and those guys more time. So all they got to do is get 6 or 7 because of those guys.
First of all, totally agree. But then the other thing is, I think, basically, Trev and this decision and what he did with bringing back Frost and how he even spoke about it, he told you, like, guys, I'm not going to fire Frost unless it is, like, painfully obvious. Where it's almost like, I'm trying to think of some sort of couple in a movie or a TV show where it's, like, clear that one, like, somebody's terrible for the other person, but they keep holding on to him. Like,
yeah.
Where it is almost like, it is clear, like, they were maybe going to break up, and then the guy or the girl said, well, our anniversary is next month. I'm going to give it to the anniversary, and if they show me anything, and if that person just shows up with one rose, they are fine.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I view Trev Albert's comments and then his decisions as all this thing needs to show just some semblance of progress, and progress is 6 or 7 wins to me.
Yeah.
And I think all these people are coming back.
Yeah, and I mean, think about from Trev's point of view, though. So Trev is thinking, if Scott can't get it done here, coming off of 13-0 UCF, Coach of the Year.
Native son, former player.
Native son, yep. National champion. Who do you go get to replace him if he's at six wins? If he gets to six wins and you think that's not good enough, I mean, who are you getting? That's the thing. Is like, who could you get to replace him that's better that you can rally
the fans, rally around it. Yeah.
You got to sell this program to the country. And I just think it's really, that'd be a hard sell, harder than like Frost showing incremental improvement and, you know, getting more time is, I think, a better sell than just like scrapping it again and trying to find somebody like that. So yeah, if you win two games,
that's
like,
what I was gonna say. Okay, let's flip it. Does 5-7 what do you do with 5-7?
5-7.
It depends.
Basically,
on how it looks.
You walk into Trev Albert's office and you bring out like a giant coin. And you're like, Trev, you're gonna have to flip this, and you're gonna have to make a decision. Which one is heads and which one is tails? And it's really it. So it's up to Trev at that point. I think it's a tough call. That's a tough call.
Oh my God. We're drunk. We're so drunk.
I'm not sure what that analogy was, but there's a giant coin that he has to flip.
Okay.
But basically, it's on Trev. I think it's a 50-50 call for Trev.
Yeah. I feel like it needs to be painful. Like he's got to like walk in sideways holding this giant coin. But
flip the coin.
It's got to be painfully obvious to fire this dude. So I think it has to be like, yeah. Again, the great variable is what it looks like. But I can't sit here and look you in the eye and tell you for sure they go 5-7. He is 1,000% fired. I don't know.
That
as like wishful thinking, like, oh, Boz just loves Frost. No, I don't know. I'm just saying like, I'm not sure if you're not going to fire this guy after four straight losing seasons and going 3-9, I'm not willing to sit here and tell you that 5-7 for sure he's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I keep coming back to this. I think the kicker is like, if you see something in Whipple and Mickey Joseph,
yes,
that is special as a part of the staff, that might be Frost's like biggest crutch he can lean on,
right,
for another
year. There's a way to sell it to the fans. Like, listen, this was Mickey Joseph's first year. You see the improvements he made in XYZ recruiting Whipple. You allow him to have another year with installing his offense and his way of doing things.
We get a guy that's actually getting quarterbacks. We get Joseph, who's getting receivers and just like dudes from down south that can fucking ball.
Yes, like, and they're playing. They've done good in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and then we've done like, and so this is, yeah, we can get to that.
That's what I'm saying. You got Mathis, you got Devin Drew, you got Casey Thompson, Chubba Purdy, Trey Palmer, like Tommy Hill. Like, you've got on the transfer portal. I'm hard pressed to like, I'm not like immersed in like, give me NC State's transfer portal pickups. Like, I have no idea. Like, but I'm hard pressed to think you write down Nebraska's top six transfer portal guys. They're probably as good of transfer portal pickups as anybody.
They are
top to bottom.
When you enter the portal, though, is there like a room where there's like, you hit a button, it's like the wall turns into like, and you like go into this portal?
I'd love to know what you're getting. It's like when Austin Powers went back to like 1969. Like, I bid you adieu. Is it that? I don't know what it is.
Who turned this thing off? It's cool.
I don't know how that works, but I'm just saying, like, now Caleb Williams, old boy from Oklahoma that goes to USC. Like, yeah, he's probably the number one dude. Jordan Addison, the Pitt wide receiver, the one that Biliknikoff, I think he's going to Texas. But, like, I mean, O'Shawn Mathis, everybody wanted O'Shawn Mathis. Every one of them. Yeah. And Nebraska got him.
Yep.
So let's talk about him. That's the next guy that's on the list here for us to talk about. O'Shawn Mathis. So I wrote this down. I threw this at Dirk and he was vibing with me. There, you know, 25, 30 years ago, even further back than that, in like the sport of basketball, to be successful, like, you had to have a center.
Yeah.
You had to have a five. You had to have a pure big man with size you could throw the ball into the post with. Even 25, 30 years ago in football, you kind of had to have a superstar running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, sure. It was kind of non-negotiable. If, like, you want to win a Super Bowl, a national championship, a bowl game of substance, you better have a stud running back. Nowadays in football, it feels like you have to have a pass rusher. Like, you just have to have a guy. And Nebraska hasn't had that since Randy Gregory. And if we're focusing on the Frost era, certainly for the 4 years that Scott Frost has been here, and you can feel that in games. Like, you can feel that void. And O'Shawn Mathis, at least on paper, could fill it. So I think it's nice that, like, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. It feels like, on paper, check that box. Are you ready to chug the sack Kool-Aid?
So, you know, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, he's not Chase Young. He's not Aiden Hutchinson, right? He's not that kind of guy.
No.
But I would say, just from, like, if you look at him, we don't have a guy like him on our roster that is 6'5 and all of 6'5, 260 and all of 260, that can kind of move, can kind of bend, and can bring a little bit of heat. Now, I don't necessarily know if he's like, you know, they're talking about this guy like going to go pro after 1 year. Like, I didn't know he's that good, but if he's a top 100 guy, that's what I don't know. If he's a top 100 guy, Nick, he changes our defense.
Let me just interject. I thought I heard that he had received a fourth or fifth round grade on from like the NFL draft.
So he's probably he's 100 to 150, 100 to 200, right? Yep. Call it.
Yes.
And that's not bad. That means you're a guy that can help us a lot. Now, if you're under that top 100, usually like you change our defense, right? So that's a great sign that he's even like a draftable guy. And that also then moves to like the Nelson's the secondary guy, which makes him better as the secondary guy versus the primary rusher. I mean, Nick, there's nothing about that is not a absolute win and a half for us.
Right.
That is a huge deal for our defense. We haven't had it. We finally got a guy that is like, might be a legit pass rusher.
He's an every down guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, okay, kind of expand on, I mean, there's going to be, on third downs, can you throw Nelson, Tanner, and Mathis out there? And
no, you probably don't want all three of them because one of them has to go over the tackle then, right? Okay. So, I mean, Mathis could go over the tackle.
But maybe that's taken away from what he does.
Yeah,
best.
I mean, he's not necessarily like an interior pass rusher. So I think you, like the other guy from Texas Tech.
Yeah, Devin Drew.
Devin Drew is, his build's more like a three technique. So he's like, you know, 6'2", 275, 280. He's actually probably built to pass rush more. And I heard that, like, one of the reasons that he liked us is we're going to move more from the true 3-4 to more of like a 4-3 hybrid.
Right.
So like more of a four down, right? So we probably need to, and the fact that, you know, we're just limited on interior linemen.
Right.
So we just got a commitment from a JUCO interior lineman this week, but like we're still trying to recruit interior, the two tackles. We got Ty Robinson. And, you know, Casey Rogers left us.
Right.
And he was going to be a starting, you know, interior guy. But, like, he was more of a true, I think, like, 3-4 end. And maybe that's why he left, too. I don't know. But I think we kind of have to go to the 4-3 just because we have now three defensive ends. You know, and our backups, like Gunnarsson and Jamari Butler, they're pretty good players. Maybe not quite ready for the big show, but they'll at least have depth. We don't have depth on the interior.
Right. The two guys that the snack spot.
Snacks leaving was a big deal. I mean, Snacks and our boy Ben Stilley.
Yeah. Stilley was eating. Those dudes were eating up blocks.
Yeah. I mean, and those guys were, you know, we had four dudes with Rodgers last year that were like true almost starters. And then Riley left, of course. So we're just thin there. And so, like, we need to bring somebody in that can help. Besides, you know, Drew, on the interior. But yeah, I mean, that's where Mathis is. I mean,
Nick, I just think Mathis is huge,
Nick,
too.
It's enormous.
Huge.
It's enormous.
I mean,
and I think we're talking about transfer portal, we're talking about NIL a little bit. Like, I don't know what he got to come here, but I have a feeling.
Some legit money.
That there was.
Yes.
That he had incentive.
Like, I think there were some stories and articles from O'Shawn Mathis and his mom and different stuff about how, like, it wasn't just about the NIL, but, like, listen, that also doesn't mean that he wasn't getting nothing to come here.
He's getting something to go anywhere. So, yes. But I will say this. I do think we absolutely went after him like probably nobody. And how many teams are of Nebraska's history that have a spot basically like
you are,
you want it, it's yours.
You
here.
You are going to line up and rush the quarterback in the Big Ten the yeah. entire game from game one.
So it's like Big Ten and SEC are probably the two best conferences. Can you go to any SEC school and be like, there's not another pass rusher that's to your caliber or maybe better? Most of those teams in the SEC, Nick, probably have one guy or two that are like kind of in their own rights, you know.
Well, think about he was at TCU. His coach was Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson gets let go. Gary Patterson joins the Texas staff. And he still, so his coach yeah. was at Texas.
But Texas also might have like guys that he'd have to actually
compete with.
That's what
I'm saying. I'm just, I know, right. No
I mean,
doubt.
Basically, it's like, it's him and Nelson if he comes here.
Right.
And Tanner probably backs up. And, you know, he's in a good spot. Like, Nebraska's fan base is going to love this guy.
I just feel like with, you could feel it on every big third down over the course of the last 4 years, where it just felt like Nebraska, the opposing team's quarterback had all day to throw.
Nobody could win. That's like, the thing. You got to win. Like, and we know the feeling on the opposite side.
Yes.
Every big third down, we could feel our guys getting beat.
Yes.
And that's such a different thing.
I remember we talked about that Michigan game. The thing that was interesting about that Michigan game was, I think you and I at halftime, when Nebraska was shut out in the first half, I think you and I were talking about how the hell is Nebraska going to score? And a huge part of our conversation around Nebraska going to score is like, well, the reality is Aiden Hutchinson is on Adrian Martinez in a second on every play. So how are you going to move the ball? And then it was the same thing with Karloftis. Is that in it from Purdue?
George Karloftis,
it was the same thing with him. Like
every third down,
like, it was just like these dudes
one
are
1,000, 2,000 sack there. Is coming and yeah. changes the game.
Changes the game. So huge for Nebraska. We bring up snacks real quick. Austin Allen, JoJo Doman, snacks all didn't get drafted. Surprised?
Not
surprised.
So not for snacks. Austin Allen, I thought was going to be a late round guy. The funny thing about JoJo,
what is it about JoJo that they didn't like?
JoJo's a tweener. So JoJo didn't play linebacker. He played nickel, and he's a 230-pound nickel.
Right.
Can't play nickel in the pro. So he has no film, and I don't know that he's necessarily a good linebacker. And linebacker is, I'm stacked, I'm reading gaps, I'm doing all the linebacker things. So he's no film. That's not his position, Nick.
Okay. This is good. I'm learning things.
JoJo was good at that nickel spot where he guarded the slot, had certain kinds of drops, blitzed well, had these really good timing blitz. That was what he was good at. He found the ball well, made splash plays. But JoJo is a tweener. He's 25 years old. That didn't help him. 25, he's a tweener, and he's going to have to try to play linebacker in the NFL, and he's never played linebacker.
Interesting. So, his position obviously exists in the NFL. That role exists in the NFL that just don't look
it's
like
the
JoJo.
The backup corner, Rondae Barber plays that position in the NFL.
And Rondae Barber's better at that than JoJo Domínguez.
He's 6 foot. Tall, 200 pounds,
and can run.
Runs 4.4 and can do all that.
That's interesting.
Because you got to guard Tyreek Hill in there.
Right.
JoJo's not guarding Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Like, JoJo, like, got away with being just fast enough to hang in there, But in the NFL, Tyreek Hill torches you.
Interesting. It's just, you know, it's like a Drew Timmy for Gonzaga. Like, really good player. I mean, arguably, I have a player of the year vote. I voted him third in my player of the year ballot.
Yeah.
But, so, bottom line, I mean, he's one of the five best players in college basketball. But is there a place for him in the NBA? Like, there just isn't. And I know that's not total apples to apples.
It is, though. It's the same thing. It's like
weird how
you can be good, but Timmy's older and he doesn't have a real, like, what's his role in the NBA? Maybe he'll find it, but like, it's not obvious.
No.
And if it's not obvious, man, it's like,
okay, now that's interesting because I was like, I'm not so sure I wasn't most surprised that JoJo didn't get picked, but this is what, like,
I think the only reason I was surprised is I kind of bought into. I wouldn't have thought him as a guy that was like for sure going to get drafted. But then everybody was like, oh, JoJo's All-American. He got voted like second team All-American, right. And then like got really high mock draft stuff, which, you know, you buy into that stuff.
That stuff, whatever that is.
It influences you. But like in the reality is like if you would have told me halfway through the year, like, is JoJo getting drafted? I'd been like, well, I don't know. Maybe really late or not.
Interesting.
But like at some point people were like, oh, JoJo might be a second, third or fourth. Like, no, it was never the case. That was more like hype probably.
And JoJo had exhausted all his eligibility, right?
Yeah.
Did Austin Allen and Snacks make a mistake? That's, I guess, like when you're leaving and you got one more year.
That's a hard
now,
one.
Now I get it.
That's a hard one. I'll tell you what though, if you don't get drafted, and you can get into the top four rounds. Now, could Snacks ever get in the top four rounds? I don't know. Austin Allen with another year, I think would maybe have an opportunity. I think Austin Allen had a chance. But these guys, I mean, maybe they'll make a team. I just think it's harder.
Mean,
it's harder if you don't get drafted.
I just wanted to pick your brain on that. I know we were with each other on draft weekend a little bit, and we got to talk about it a little bit, but not like in depth.
I don't know that we talked to them. I mean, Cam went high.
Cam went high.
Second round. I mean, I don't know that anybody, even at the end of the year, of you said, is Cam Jurgens going second round? I don't know if anybody in Nebraska would have said, oh, for sure. Cam Taylor Britt, star of the year, I would have said,
Maybe.
After a season, I was like, woof. After his combine, I went, oh, yeah, he's going to go.
Right.
But, man, second round?
I was a little surprised with Cam Taylor Britt. I'm less surprised. Like, I don't know. I mean, this is a guy that I vividly remember during the pandemic. I recorded, it was after the Iowa game. So on Black Friday, when O'Doyle was snapping it all over the place. And I told you that he needed to be benched and needed to be done.
I know.
So it shows you what I know about anything.
But
I was ready to bench a second round center.
But
he couldn't snap
Nick,
the ball.
He couldn't snap the ball. That's so the funniest thing about it is our two best players in the last 6 years, the highest draft picks we've had in 6, 7 years, I don't know, since Randy Gregory probably. Really, Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
One, the whole state basically was like, why don't we bench this guy? Because he can't snap. That was the whole state was saying that. And Cam Taylor Britt, who before the season was like clearly our best player, really struggled the first half of the year. Like he had the fumbled thing and he just like
he gave up big third downs a lot.
It took
him about 6 games to get going.
He was pressing for half a season. So like it's really hard to be like, oh, it was clear he's a second round.
He was
a guy pressing for half the year.
Honestly, you know what game? It was the Oklahoma game that flipped it for me with Jurgens. Even like honestly, his penalty. It was his personal
he
foul.
He ran down the field.
He ran. I was like, that guy's the real deal.
Oh, I mean, it was such a. I mean, he just is so physically impressive that like you realize that all you got to do is find a place to put that guy in the field, and it's just like they don't make people like him.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors.
by Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. I just wasn't sure if, like, man, if you have another year of eligibility. Now, some people, there is something to your stock is what it is, and it can't get any higher than it is, and you might as well just go. There is a reality to that. And for some of these guys, if I'm not mistaken, I think Allen and Snacks both had been at Nebraska for 4 years. Like, you've been, like, I don't know how you were. Like, if you could have, let's say you would have been able to come back for another year at Nebraska. So you were a late draft pick to the New England Patriots,
yeah,
in the 2007 draft. If you could have come back, would you have come back?
So that's an interesting question, because my senior year I hyperextended my knee and I missed a handful of games, and then I broke my hand for the last couple of games I played with. But Bo Pelini was coming in. I knew Bo Pelini. I actually would have considered it hard.
Right.
I don't think I would have came back if, like, it was the same situation,
right?
Same coaching team. I would have probably been like, you know what?
You put in your five year. At that point, it would have been 5 years.
Yeah, and so I think, though, I would absolutely have considered it hard if it was Pelini. I could have been one more year with Pelini. I could have, because I would have had a chance to maybe raise my drop. Because I know, like, New England told me, like, we had you rated higher as a junior. Because I had, you know, I was all big.
You were all Big 12.
Big 12 as a junior.
Wow. You never told me that. They had you. You were higher on their.
Higher on the board. And then we should have won the Big 12, obviously,
yes,
junior year. And then senior year, we lost Carricker and Jay Moore. And we just, like,
didn't play well as a team.
Like, I actually was a better player as a senior. I was a better individual, I was better, but our team was way worse, and I got hurt, and so just, like, we looked bad as a team, and that reflects bad on the player.
Did you even consider leaving after a junior? Your junior year?
No.
I don't remember talking to you about that.
I did not consider it.
Interesting.
But that was the times. I mean, at the time, it was like...
It's like, I can go party at the rail, or...
I mean, yeah. And, you know, I don't know what... There was a part of me that was like, my brother did 4 years,
right,
and I just, like, I never
thought.
If
you would have called me and said, "Hey, Nick, guess what? I'm entering the draft," I'd have been like, I mean, I'd have been pumped for you, but I'd be like, really?
I also think, like, nobody, you know, like, New England told me that, and I was like, well, nobody told me that. You know, I mean, let me ask you something. Who tells these people,
right,
who's where I'm, like, nobody told me anything.
Well, I feel like everything has changed so much. Like, I feel like nowadays there's more access to that kind of information now. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, that's
nobody. I didn't even, like, it was just like, well, obviously on senior year.
All right, on to senior year. Here we go.
Now, if somebody would have told me, like, you know, we got you rated as a fourth round grade, I might be like,
right,
what?
Imagine, like, this going into that year, if New England would have said, hey, man, we have you as a fourth or fifth round grade. If you're available in the fourth or fifth round, we are going to draft
If they would
you.
Have said third or fourth round to me, I think I would have been... That would have changed my mindset.
I'd have been heartbroken, though. You know how heartbroken I would have been?
I know.
Do you want your dreams to come true, or do you want to shatter my heart? I would never have done that.
I would have... We had a whole year.
We had a whole summer.
That was the Myoplex
protein,
summer.
And we had a great summer.
100 every night.
Every night. We had a great time.
We were in great shape.
100 push-ups every night. God, we were having a great time. You would have gone off to Phoenix and done your training for the combine.
Nick, I wouldn't have traded for the world, because that was a fun year.
I just want to make sure that was such
a fun year.
But I just was curious that, I mean, Austin Allen, JoJo, Damian Daniels all didn't get drafted. That's interesting to me.
But, you know, you can't blame them. They thought, you know, and they have a chance right now. They all have a chance to make it in the NFL. you know, every year you go, you can get hurt. I mean, there's all those things.
Yeah,
you go,
I get it. I mean, I get it. Like, I get, a part of me gets why they all left, but I also,
yeah,
it's easy to say after the fact where they didn't get drafted, you go, man, shouldn't have done it. But
I mean, there's two sides to it. There's get it while you can, and there's the Ndamukong Suh, which is like, he was borderline late first, probably a second round pick, and then he goes second overall and makes $60 million. That is the benefit of staying and raising your stock. And he became a legend.
And
he wasn't a legend until his senior year.
That's it. Oh, even for a basketball, Doug McDermott. Doug was heavily considering leaving after his junior year. Said, screw it. He becomes a top 15 pick.
And he's a legend.
And he's a legend.
Legend. He wasn't a legend after his junior year. He was a legend after his senior year.
And after his senior year, he became a legend in college. I mean, he's got one of the 10 to 15 best statistical careers of any college basketball player.
I mean, what year was that? Was that
2013, 2014?
The last decade, I mean, he has top two or three of the last decade in terms of just like, that
three-time All-American, National Player of the Year, 3,000-point scorer. It's like,
it's insane.
I mean, it's nuts. Okay, my question to you real quick. We went to Spain with the Tempranillo. We now have a Brunello, which is an Italian wine. Are we doing it?
Just give me a little.
Oh, God. I mean, we're already drunk. Are you drunk? Because I'm drunk.
I feel perfect.
I feel perfect. That dude said he feels perfect. Okay. We're moving along pretty good here.
This is good.
All right. Next topic. Bringing in Fred Hoiberg a little bit here. How much, when you think of the parallels of Frost and Hoiberg are really, really, really crazy to me. You have two hot shot coaches who are known for their offensive acumen, explosive offensive firepower. That's what their identity is as a coach. Frost comes from Oregon and Central Florida, just went 13-0, like coach of the year. Hoiberg lit the world on fire, a couple of Sweet 16s at Iowa State, goes to the Chicago Bulls. They were going to beat the Boston Celtics until Rondo got his elbow hurt. And like comes from the fucking Chicago Bulls to Nebraska. Like, and their offensive guys, and it both have struggled. You've heard some people say, well, listen, I could have told you that. Their offenses don't work in the Big Ten. Frost, up-tempo, spread it out, don't run it, pound the ball. Hoiberg, pace and space, jack and threes, that stuff doesn't work in the Big Ten where it's a big man's league, all that stuff. My question to you is, how much are their struggles, Frost and Hoiberg, attributed to their styles of play not fitting in the Big Ten, and how much is it something else?
I think...
You want me to go first?
You go
first. I'm going to go to France real quick.
Go to France. I see London.
Don't make me laugh. I'm about to go to France.
I see Hoiberg's underpants.
You want me to go to France real quick?
Go to France real quick. I think that's an Italian
line. It's Italian. It's not
Come on,
Italian.
Nick. Come on, Nick.
let me take it all back. This is an Italian wine, not a French wine.
Go to that.
Why did I think we were going to France real quick?
Because you had a couple of these. That's why.
Okay. You want me to go to France? Oh, that's good.
That's good, isn't it?
Okay. Here's how to answer the question. I suppose on some level, there is some of like, hey, their styles aren't ideal for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
On some level, that's kind of undeniable. I'm not going to run from that. But I'm not ready to, I'm not going to sit here and say that like those styles don't work in the Big Ten and point blank period into discussion. Doesn't matter who it is. Like if Hoiberg had legitimate better 3-point shooters and a legitimate point guard, I think he wins games.
Yeah.
If Scott Frost had legitimate wide receivers over the course of his first 4 years at Nebraska, instead of only having Stanley Morgan, and that was basically it, and has maybe a little bit more consistent, better quarterback play, and as a real game breaker at running back. Like, so I'm not, I don't know, I'm not necessarily totally, I'm not going to dismiss, no, I'm just kind of hedging it. I'm not going to dismiss the whole narrative of like the styles don't work in the Big Ten. Like, there's something to that. There's something to that, I suppose. But I don't watch Fred Hoiberg's style or Scott Frost's style and think the style is flawed, it'll never work here. I see it more of you don't have good enough personnel in the right spots.
And that's where my head went first, is like, I just like, if you got great players, it almost doesn't matter the system. I think when you don't, the system matters more.
Yeah.
Like, we're not matching up as well in the Big Ten and either football or basketball with our systems, because our player, like, if you got worse players than you had at Oregon or at Chicago, right? Like, you got to change your, you know, what you're doing to fit the guys you got right now. I think they're kind of like, well, here's the system. Anybody that goes in it should be fine. I'm like, well, not necessarily.
Good point.
And so, like, I think this is a situation where we've played, in the case of football, we've played a game of, like, sort of like not detailed control the ball foot. We did not play that when, like, we just didn't have that much better guys. And when the other teams do that, like, over the course of a game, like, it just falls out of our favor more times than not. And that's not what you want, right? Where at Oregon, he would just, in UCF, it was just like better players with that system out running and gunning, like, it
right.
just it
completely agree.
It was just different. And then same with Hoiberg, like, if your guys can't shoot, like it doesn't even matter what system you run, like, especially right. if your system's based on, like, shooting a lot of threes and some guy being really good at getting to the hole and distributing. Like, if you don't got the guys to do it, like, that system doesn't. You need to go to a system that, like, plays towards, like, you know, I don't want to say worst players, but, like, no, players that, like, legitimately,
right,
like, you have to protect, you have to protect them from.
No question.
From that.
Yes. I vividly remember, and I feel like, you know, a time allows you to kind of say these things. And I think I've even said this before. I vividly remember I did Coach Hoiberg's, it was the last game of his first year. It was Northwestern at home in, like, early March. Kugler yeah. and I were on the call on, I think it was on BTN. And I go to shoot around, Fred, you know, immediately comes over, sits down, we start talking, and he goes, Nick, he goes, analytically and statistically, he goes, we're getting the shots we want.
Yeah.
He goes, we're leading the team, we're leading the Big Ten in shots at the rim and threes, like, in terms of, like, attempts. Like, yeah.
That's what you want.
He's like, he goes, Nick, we're getting the shots we want. He goes, we just can't make them. And he kind of gave me that look, like.
And that's where, like, if you don't got the guys that can make shots, and you don't got guys that can finish and distribute, like, then you go, okay, you got to go to the game of, like.
Like, are we going to.
Tough. Right. Recruit guys that are tough on defense, are smart, like, they're going to control the ball.
So it gets to be hard, like, because that's not what he wants to do. But no. Then to win games in the meantime, you got to kind of coach that way. So he's been caught in this, like, what gives. This is always what's fascinating to me about when coaches take over any job and they have, like, where do you draw the line on instilling your style of play versus giving yourself the best chance to win right now?
With the guys you have.
With the guys you currently
to the guys.
Have.
I'm a believer, you got to fit to what you got.
Right.
Like, I think it was, I loved one thing Bill Belichick said once. He goes, I never want to have you put you in a position to do something you can't do.
Right.
And that stood out to me. Like, okay, you put your players in positions, like, if you're asking them to do things they're not physically or mentally capable of doing, that's on you as the coach.
Right.
So if your guys, and this is where it's hard, because, like,
because it's on recruiting.
They can make shots in practice, maybe, but, like,
right.
if your guys, now it's been 3 years for Hoiberg, they can't make shots. The guys that he's had can never just make shots in games consistently. Like, you got to be shooting, what, 40-some percent
yeah.
from three
right.
to be a good three-point shooter? Like, nobody's doing that.
No.
And so, like, at some point, that tells me like you're asking them to be 3-point shooters at a rate that they're not capable of.
Exactly. And so then what gets hard is to not absolve Frost or Hoiberg of blame. It's like year one, you maybe inherited some stuff or whatever, but like years and years into the road, like then it becomes like, well, it's your job to get guys here that can do those things, you know? And that's something that for sure Scott Frost and whether it was Ryan Held or whoever, they have fallen short on getting the necessary weapons that it takes to do those kinds of things.
I mean, I have zero interest in trying to go recruit now in NCAA football, but like, man, it's a hard job, but like that is the job,
right?
You got to get the guy, you got to get players. So whether it's, you know, the effort to get the best players or your evaluation of like, I can find the guys that I can get that will fit what I need to be get done. Like,
right.
That is the challenge. And it's a art more than it's a science. Like, I don't know how, I haven't done it enough to say like, oh, that's how you do it. I don't know how you do it, but like somehow you got to find out how to find the guys that you can get that will fit your system.
I think you're to wrap up this question. I think you're with me in that, like, I'm not ready to like go all the way in on like these styles don't work in the Big Ten. Like, I'm not ready.
You got players, it doesn't matter. If you got Steph Curry, shoot as many threes as you want to.
You're telling me you take some of Fred's Iowa State teams and put them in the Big Ten, they're not finishing in the top half of the Big Ten and getting to the NCAA tournament.
They're in the top two. They're in the top two of the league.
Same style.
Same guys in that same style. They're in the top two of the league. It's just those players in that system can do it.
And even the same thing, I believe, with you're telling me if Frost has LaMichael James and some other, you know, like has some different, like they're going to bowl games.
Yeah. They got pros at every position on offense, right? Like,
so I mean, I think it's less about the X's and the O's and more about like the Jimmys and the Joes for that sort of a conversation. But
I agree. But then that's on the coaches,
right,
to adjust.
So that's also not absolving the coaches of
culpability
and all this thing either. But it's I don't know. Like, I'm not ready to say like these styles don't work. You got to scrap them. Like, yeah, I'm not ready to say that. But you better get the right if you're going to run said system. If Fred Hoiberg, if you wanna play fast, shoot a bunch of threes, like you better get dudes that can make threes.
Yeah, if anything, they got to be able to do that alone, right?
Right. You know, or and then with Frost, same thing. Like you better have a bunch of dudes that in space are taking the top off of defense, can make a guy miss, home run hitter type guys. If you don't got that, then maybe you need to huddle up.
Yeah, I mean, we had Cade Warner for 3 years,
right?
Like
that's not gonna work.
That's not explosive.
No, that's complete opposite of explosive. Okay, moving on. What is France Italian?
I'd like to go to France right now.
I can't believe I said we had a bridge.
We're going to France.
Oh, what a life we live. This is so stupid. This is good.
A Huda Media Production.